Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming knowledge and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society presently on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to teaching the sciences of life and the science of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you will be able to extract the very best the current century has to offer. You are listening to the Dr. Jewel Show with your host, microbiologist, preventative medicine and hygiene physician, Dr. Jewel Pilgrim, MD. Join Dr. Jewel here each Wednesday at 7 p.m. on the Jewel Network, hosted by thejewelnetwork.net.
Everyone, how are you? And welcome to the Dr. Jewel Show. I'm your host, Dr. Jewel, and this is brought to you by the Jewel Network, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living, broadcasting the sciences of life and the sciences of living on Blog Talk Radio. And we are glad to be back again. We look forward to this time with you every week. And as usual, we have some very, very interesting information to exchange. We spend a lot of time talking about many, many things, and we've got a list of wonderful guests that will be coming up on the show for the next couple of weeks. But I just wanted to bring to your attention again, because, you know, the Jewel Network is dedicated to creating within you, at your will, the mind of a scientist. You have this fabulous, fabulous, incredible vehicle known as a human body, and it has unlimited potential, unlimited capability, and all of the sciences that are broadcasted through the Jewel Network, and there are many, many, many more to come, all are a reflection of literally what the physical body can do. But we recognize that the physical body has its limitation based on you and your capacity to utilize constructively and wisely the mainframe computer known as the brain. So I wanted to talk about some concepts today with you. We spend so much time in the hardcore sciences, I thought it was really important to start looking at states of consciousness, because what we're hearing when our guests are talking to us about whatever they're doing, whatever they're sharing, we are still not aware of the fact that our brain and our awareness, ourself, are not the same thing. So I wanted to share with you, again, precise definitions of what we're dealing with here, and again, to really look at our brain in a different way. So the theme for today is gratitude and appreciation. And it just keeps coming to me at this very critical time in the transformation of our bodies, the transformation of our literal life, the planet, the solar system, our galaxy, that the human brain doesn't get a chance to really process the wavelength of thought known as gratitude and appreciation by the human population on this planet. We don't spend a lot of time doing that. And having gratitude is very important for the health of your cells, obviously, but then being able to move to the next level of thinking relative to gratitude is appreciation, because one is an awareness and the other one is the stimulus for an action. So before we go any deeper into this, I want to deal with some definitions, some information, and then we're going to look at these two concepts.
Would you like to be smarter, more at peace in your life, less stressed? Are you searching for a greater spiritual connection? If so, what you need is access to the 90% of your brain that most of us don't even use. All of this and much more can be yours by enrolling in Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program. Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program is a revolutionary program utilizing sacred geometry to connect the logical left and creative right sides of the brain to work with what we call whole brain functionality. Many participants feel effects from day one, and in no time you can enjoy the physiological effects equal to 8 hours of meditation in as little as 15 minutes a day. Act now to start on this life-changing program and become the person you always wanted to be. To learn more and sign up for Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.net. What are you waiting for? Make the move now.
You're listening to The Jewel Network, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living, on the web at www.thejewelnetwork.net. The rapidly evolving face of the 21st century is requiring us to upgrade our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies in order to keep pace with the energetic changes around us. DiamondLightWorld.com provides you with a collection of energy tools and technology to assist you in regenerating your body, enabling your mind, as well as activating and strengthening your presence and purpose so that you can achieve greater manifestation of your divine goals in this lifetime. Julie Umpleby, a scientist and the founder of Diamond Light World, offers you specialized and personal Diamond Light Grid activations and alignments, focused meditations, home study programs for personal Diamond Matrix development, and much more. Visit www.diamondlightworld.com for further information on how you can step up to and into your highest potential.
From Jewel Publications, Straight from the Heart, by Dr. Jewel Pookrum. An incredible volume of work, Dr. Jewel explores the genesis of disease, prostate health, and sexuality, as well as sharing a new look at the effects emotions play in the resolution of cancer. Straight from the Heart is an outpouring of wisdom that you will read over again. Get your paperback or ebook copy today.
Network, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living, on the web at www.thejewelnetwork.net.
Greetings. I'm back. I love it when we have these electronic interruptions. However, they do happen. So I left you with the sponsors, and we are now going to just talk about that fabulous organ, master computer known as your brain. I just wanted to give you some basic information because, again, we are really not acting as though we really can begin to appreciate how divinely we've been constructed and what these aspects of the body literally represent. So, just quickly, the brain weighs approximately 3 pounds. If you're into the metric system, that's about 1.3 to 1.4 kilograms. Now, very interesting. Some researchers have contributed data that lets us know that they've been doing some very interesting research activities. And so they decided that they would take a sampling of brains, human brains, and literally just bend them, or should I say blend them together. And they found out that literally a blended brain, the total volume, is about 1.7 liters, or which would be just about enough liquid to fill about 90% of those liter pop bottles, which I thought was an interesting analogy. So this brain that is so incredible in our head, and that bone is known as the cranium, takes up about 2% of your total body weight. Now, what I thought was very interesting, and this is what people really don't comprehend, is the fact that the consistency, the texture of the brain is somewhat a cross between what neurosurgeons have described as toothpaste and soft tofu. So I want to give you those vivid descriptions so that you can literally understand how magical this organ is that allows you to be able to comprehend what I'm saying to you right now. That it has the consistency of toothpaste to soft tofu. It weighs approximately 3 pounds, or 1.3 to 1.4 kilograms. It has a total liquid volume of about 1.7 liters, and it is accountable for approximately 2% of your total body weight. Now, the brain, the structure that houses this incredible organ is known as the cranium, C-R-A-N-I-U-M. And in the cranium, when we talk about the brain, it's very interesting what's going on there. We have approximately 80% brain tissue that occupies the cranium, and 20% of the cranium is occupied with blood in the arteries and in the veins and the cerebral spinal fluid. Now, it's very interesting, some observations that have been made by some scientists from the University of Wisconsin. One particular gentleman, Mr. John Hanks, has been doing research on comparing the literal size of the brain to brains of our past, of our ancestors. And those extrapolations have been made, obviously, by the archaeological craniums that have been found over the years. And so it is very clear in the world of archaeology and neuroscience or medical anthropology that approximately 5,000 years ago, the brains of human beings were much, much larger than they are today. And so it appears as though over time, over the last 5,000 years, the brain, the size of the human brain has been estimated to have shrunk approximately 9 cubic inches, which calculates to be about 10% of its size. So the key here is, why does the brain seem to be decreasing in size as humanity moves forward in the life cycles on our planet? So it these scientists have offered some potential answers as to why the brain seems to be getting smaller. And one offering is that the diet that we eat now is much softer. It's much easier to chew. So therefore, the jawbone and the lower portion of the cranium, okay, which is literally the bones of the face, have decreased in size and in their density, because the raw foods and the rough foods with high roughage content, etc., are not a mainstay in the present modern diet. Also, too, it has been offered as a reason why the brain is getting smaller is the fact that if the brain literally is making more synapses, is becoming much more integrated, then therefore the brain volume doesn't have to be as large, because the efficiency of the cells of the brain, the neurons, has significantly increased. And so when you're able to create something more efficient, as you know, then the size definitely diminishes. And that's why we have, for example, nanotechnology. And as you know, our TV sets now are much thinner, almost paper thin, as well as our computers, et cetera. And the reason why is because having a greater comprehension of how we can put circuitry together and increase its efficiency but decrease the size has been the phenomena that we've experienced, and it appears as though that is also true for the human brain. Now, one of the things that's very interesting also is that there's a direct correlation of knowing that a smaller brain does not indicate a decrease in intellect. So the bigger brains do not necessarily correlate also with a greater intellect or greater capacity to be smarter does not. So, following through with this very interesting information, the brain uses about 20% of the oxygen in the blood at all times, unless it is resting, and approximately 25% of the glucose circulating in the bloodstream at all times, except at rest, is utilized by the brain. Now, that is a lot of sugar used by the brain relative to the amount that's in the bloodstream. 25% is dedicated to supplying the building blocks for energy for the brain. 25% of the sugar in the blood at all times, except at rest, is being utilized by the brain. So now it can make sense to you as to why, if you're doing a lot of cerebrating, thinking, that you definitely can have an urge to want to eat more carbohydrates or just become even hungry because you're burning up and utilizing 20% of the fuel available in the bloodstream just by continuously and persistently using the brain. Now, factors they have found that influence brain size are very important, and I want you to remember this, that the climate change demands of the environment, the ecology, and also social circumstances and social competition does change brain size. This is very important. And we know for a fact that competition is very interesting. And those individuals who feel that they're in a competitive environment all times have even more smaller brains. Very interesting. And the areas of the brain that are large are the areas that do deal with survival, basic maintenance of all the life force systems needed to keep the body active, movable, and the major organ systems such as the lungs and the heart, et cetera, in top-notch activity. But the areas of the brain that deal with creativity, et cetera, are very much underdeveloped in individuals who are continuously in a competitive state. Interesting, isn't it? So environment makes a really big difference on brain size and also the selectivity of what parts of the brain will be augmented to grow.
Would you like to be smarter, more at peace in your life? Are you searching for a greater spiritual connection? All of this and much more can be yours by enrolling in Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program. Many participants feel effects from day one, and in no time you can enjoy the physiological effects equal to 8 hours of meditation in as little as 15 minutes a day. To learn more and sign up for Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.net.
Listening to The Jewel Network, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living, on the web at www.thejewelnetwork.net. The rapidly evolving face of the 21st century is requiring us to upgrade our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies in order to keep pace with the energetic changes around us. DiamondLightWorld.com provides you with a collection of energy tools and technology to assist you in regenerating your body, enabling your mind, as well as activating and strengthening your presence and purpose so that you can achieve greater manifestation of your divine goals in this lifetime. Julie Umpleby, a scientist and the founder of Diamond Light World, offers you specialized and personal Diamond Light Grid activations and alignments, focused meditations, home study programs for personal diamond matrix development, and much more. Visit www.diamondlightworld.com for further information on how you can step up to and into your highest potential.
Hi. I'm back again. I love the fluctuations in the energy. Boy, it's just exciting. So we were talking about the wrinkles on the brain, and it appears as though the more wrinkles that you have, it shows a greater efficiency in the brain and the capability of the neurons of the brain to process energy. So one of the things that's clear is that you don't want to have a smooth surface brain. Now, we have a couple different types of wrinkles. We have the small crevices, and then we have the large folds in the brain. So the small crevices of the grooves are known as sulci, S-U-L-C-I, and the ridges of the brain are called gyri, G-Y-R-I. Now, the cerebral cortex, and I've been talking about that, that is the part of the brain that is all ours. That is to say that it is specifically for the human species on planet Earth, because all the other segments of the brain literally have been the segments of the brain that have been the master computer for the lower organisms on the planet. So whether they are single cell organisms, fish, amphibians, insects, birds, and then finally the lower mammals. All of those brain segments are in our brain, but the only aspect of the brain that is unique to the primates and especially the human is the cerebral cortex. Now, the cerebral cortex, some authors are saying, contains about 100 billion neurons, or somewhere between 80 trillion. That's a lot, 100 billion to 80 trillion, depends on whose study you read. But what's so interesting is that those neurons fold upon themselves and organize themselves in such a way that it allows them to really be able to process data in an incredible way. So 100 billion neurons, or 8 trillion, folded upon itself over and over again and connecting to different segments of the brain and contributing a part of themselves to form the spinal cord is just amazing. Okay, so the spinal cord, most people don't recognize, are literally an extension of the neurons of the brain. That extension is so long, yes, that it does travel down the spine and into the other organs of the body. Amazing, interesting. So, now again, the wrinkles. Who has more wrinkles in the brain than the human? Okay, so far we've discovered just one other organism that does, that has more wrinkles than the human, and that is the dolphins. Interesting. So all the primates and even the elephants have the same amount of wrinkles they found as the human brain, but that organism that has even far more wrinkles than the human is the dolphins. So I thought that was very interesting. Now, this is very important because when we talk about people only utilizing 5 to 10% of their brain capability, we're literally talking about the population of neurons. So you have somewhere between 100 billion to 80 trillion neurons. That number only composes 10% of the entire population of cells forming the brain. The remaining 90% of the cells are cells that normally most people don't know about, and scientists haven't been paying much attention to them till lately, and that is known as the glial cells, G-L-I-A cells. And these cells are very important. Interestingly enough, they're the controllers of what the neurons really do. They help to maintain a proper spacing between each neuron, and especially a proper space, an important space known as the synapse, where chemical exchanges occur between the axon of one neuron communicating with the axon of another. They also determine and hold into place the dendrites, okay, which are kind of like the little hairy projections that extend off the rest of the cell. They also are responsible for doing what? Absorbing the excess amounts of neurotransmitters that the neuron will make in response to your thoughts. Interesting. So they mop up the excess neurotransmitters. They also modulate size and growth of the neuron. They protect the neurons, and they also ensure that the immune properties within the brain are at top-notch functionality. So therefore, making sure that no foreign invaders, toxic substances, etc., get into the brain, and if so, that they're immediately handled. Very important. So 90% of the cells in the brain are not the neurons that we talk about, but they're the glial cells that do all these other important things. Now, we can move forward with our topic of discussion, which is gratitude and appreciation, which obviously is processed in the brain as a thought, and then the neurochemistry that corresponds to one contemplating gratitude and then deciding to take action on it, which then we call appreciation, is a very significant neurotransmitter that affects the cells of the body in very interesting and very profound and very beneficial ways. But the key here is, which is so interesting, is that these frequencies of consciousness, these frequencies of energy are not entertained on a continuous, regular basis by the human. And so, therefore, the activities that the human body exercises, which means the action that is taken, demonstrates the low entertainment of these two words. Now, let's just go forward a little bit and move beyond the physicality of the brain and deal with components or definitions of who we are and what we are. Now, some of these definitions, because I found a lot of different ones, are really coming from RSE, School of Enlightenment. I just want to give acknowledgement to that. And so, because they're quantum physics, physical definitions that we really need to pay attention to. So, let's look at the essence of who we are. Okay, so we've discussed the brain, which, as you know, is that part of the central nervous system that's enclosed in the cranium of the human and other vertebrates, which is consisting of a soft, kind of convoluted mass of gray and white matter serving to control and coordinate and moderate the physical activities of the human body. So the components that the brain modulates, we've given specific names to, for example, the mind. Okay, just think about that for a minute. What do you define the mind as? Okay, very, very important. Now, some definitions that I looked up in the dictionary were quite interesting, but they really didn't suffice right now. So these must have been definitions contributed in the 30s or 40s, et cetera, that haven't been modified. So one common definition I've seen over and over again occur in the standard dictionaries is the element, part, or substance, or process that reason, feeling, will, perceptions, and judgments originate. Well, okay, this still is really kind of vague. Let's look at a more quantum physical definition. The product of streams of consciousness and energy acting on the brain, creating thought forms. And these thought forms are holographic segments or neurosynaptic patterns, which have been labeled as memory. So mind is the stream of consciousness and energy which keeps the brain alive. The streams of consciousness are what keeps the brain alive, and they are its power source. So the ability to think is what creates a mind. Interesting. So what is a thought? Okay, thoughts are not consciousness, and even though many people will interchange the words, it's not from a genuine understanding of energy that we do that. So thought is not consciousness. The brain processes a stream of consciousness, which is energy, modifying it into segments of holographic pictures of neurological, electrical, and chemical prints, which are, as we discussed earlier, called a thought. And so thoughts are the building blocks of the mind. Okay, so the mind is built upon thoughts, okay? So we've got to look at this ultrastructure so that you can really understand here what's really going on, so that when you contemplate this, gratitude and appreciation can really be attributed to essences and fields of energy that we seldom take note of and definitely do not appreciate. So we have the brain, okay, that this brain creates a succession of activities that allow us to literally build a mind, okay? And then the anatomical structures that build the mind are what we call thoughts. And thoughts then are built upon what? On consciousness. Now, consciousness is the essence and the fabric of all beings, of everything. Everything that exists originates in consciousness. And consciousness manifests outwardly through what is known as band-maiden energy. And this band-maiden energy are streams of consciousness which originate from a single source. The location of that single source has yet to be identified. So, therefore, you have this stream of energy that radiates throughout all space, supersedes time, that is within all material manifestation. That is, that the chair you're sitting on has consciousness. The pencil that or pen that you're writing with has consciousness. The paper you're writing on has consciousness. The carpet on the floor has consciousness. The door, the street you stand on, the clouds in the sky, they all have consciousness. The same substance that you build your mind upon through the process of a thought. So when we talk about the fact that you can communicate with anything, that you can literally change anything, that is scientifically true, and it's factual. It's not mystical. It's not magic, voodoo, or any of these things. It's just concrete understanding the fabric of how reality is built. So therefore, you can directly communicate with the coffee table or with the chair that you're sitting on or with the shoes on your feet or literally your automobile. I'm thinking about some movies. While I'm talking with you, I'm seeing these flashes of these movies where they show people were able to talk to the car and the car just started up when it hadn't been able to start before or whatever else. That is because these individuals were able to access a means of exchange and a communication of meaning that both organisms took action on, and both organisms responded to that exchange of thought. So the individual projected the desire for the car engine to start, and the consciousness of the car engine reciprocated and activated itself. These things really are how it works, and most people do not tap into these capabilities because they do not understand this energetic anatomy of how they've been constructed and how all matter has been constructed. Very, very interesting. So, I'll read that again. Consciousness is the essence and the fabric of all being. Everything exists and originated in consciousness, and consciousness manifested outwardly through its maiden band energies. So streams of consciousness are what occupies what we call space. Space is not a vacuum. It's not empty. It is filled with consciousness, and consciousness always contains information. But that consciousness literally comes from a single source. Of yet, we're not able to identify, but we know that it exists. So with that understood now, you understand you have a brain, you know how much it weighs, you know its percentages, you know what its content is, etc. That wonderful organ on the top of your neck allows you to literally select from consciousness frequencies of thought that will then give instruction to the body. And because everything literally is cyclic, circular, what we then extract out of consciousness and process through the brain and then give permission to the body to act on goes back to consciousness, and then that goes through the whole cycle and it comes back to us. So just a simple example of that is all paper, all trash has consciousness. And the reason why it becomes paper and trash is why? because it's in a location or space that really has no identifiable use for it. So the paper can be clean, but if it's on a table that really has been defined and been selected to be used for something else, that piece of paper is trash. And many times a person will come in the room and say, oh, how did this get here? They'll just ball it up and then toss it away. Why? Because that isn't the place that it in consciousness was agreed to be because of what the table was created for relative to the paper. So if you notice many of our environments, we have a lot of displaced consciousness, which has been manifested into things that really are out of place. And all of that occurs from the thoughts placed upon the brain by human beings. So all clutter, all excess, okay, all waste, the misuse of any particular form of consciousness, again, occurs from how we are selecting to use our brain. Interesting. So gratitude and appreciation comes up because these are two frequencies of thought that constantly request your attention for you to redefine how you choose to interact with the consciousness that creates all of reality. Isn't that interesting? So, simply, gratitude, by definition, is warm and deep appreciation of kindness or benefits received. Being thankful, pleasing to the mind or the senses, agreeable or welcoming. Now, gratitude is very interesting. It comes from two Latin words, okay, gratis, which means thankfulness, and then tud, a state of being, and then we have appreciation, which is gratitude and thankful recognition of a state or process. So appreciation, the act of estimating the quality of anything and giving them their proper value. Appreciation is clear perception or recognition, especially of aesthetic qualities. And further definition, that appreciation is an increase or a perception of a rise in the value of something. And also it is critical notice, evaluation, and opinion of a situation that requires action. So in these days now of tremendous change, et cetera, most people are focusing on their debt, which is, again, is an environmental influence, their interaction and relationship with other individuals, especially from a perception of safety or threat. And the gratitude and appreciation, that is having a value of anything and being able to take action on exhibiting what you know is true about that particular situation or action or individual has diminished significantly. Diminished significantly. And that creates issues for further development of the brain, the nurturing of the brain, especially certain segments, as well as for the health of all the cells. Because it's very interesting, appreciation, the appreciation frequency, the gratitude frequency, when processed by the brain, is a universal frequency. And that frequency emanates back throughout all the universe, et cetera, and all consciousness literally moves into a new level of interaction. That's why it really stimulates you to want to take action on what you are really having gratitude about, because it brings such a wholesome state of balance and appreciation in the tissues of the human body. So I was impressed to bring this to your attention so that you could really understand that, again, you don't have to medicate yourself with drugs or just do, you know, some incredible extraordinary exercises to bring peace and tranquility into your organ systems. That by using your brain constructively for what it does and allowing it to create thoughts that then construct the mind that will allow the natural essence of the body to stay in peace, gratitude and appreciation easily does that. So a little assignment. How often have you thanked your bed, your favorite bed, for how wonderful it may feel and how you're able to rest on it, or your favorite pair of shoes, or the room that you really like a lot, or the person that you really think is really incredible and has contributed deeply to any aspect of your life, okay, or the favorite shirt, or tie, or skirt, or suit, or the favorite tree that you may like, or the flower that you may like, or the patterns in the sky, or the weather, etc. All of these forms of consciousness are available for us and are surrounding us and really constitute our life, and our ability to pay attention to them and to create a mind that is filled with thoughts of appreciating all of these things does incredible things for the body. People who are seriously ill, these types of thoughts are rare and do not permeate and are not acted upon by their brain, which is why their body doesn't get the benefits of the neurochemistry that these types of thoughts produce. So it's amazing to recognize that by thinking a particular way, you literally can prevent many diseases, aging, etc., or begin to reverse deterioration in the body by just changing the thoughts that compose your mind. Interesting, isn't it? So the major panaceas I'm giving you tonight: the act, the thought, the contemplation of gratitude and appreciation for anything around you that has consciousness, it will reciprocate. You contemplating it because it does have consciousness, and watch what happens to you for doing so. So gratitude and appreciation, a very important neurotransmitter that can be created by your brain, by your willingness to contemplate that perception on anything in your environment, is a wonderful medicine for you. So I hope you enjoyed getting that breakdown of the difference between your brain versus consciousness versus the mind versus your thoughts, so that you can better use these systems to create the body, which then creates the life and then creates the relationships that you are desirous of. So with that, my dear engineer, do we have any time for calls?
Well, good evening, Doctor. We have enough time for one call, and I guess we can take a call from, if they're ready, area code 510.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Before we get into the call, I do want to talk about tomorrow's rundown. That's Thursday, and that's Dr. Blair, Truth of Consequences 2012. Dr. Blair at 7:30, and also on Friday, Music for the Mind of a Scientist. So, again, stay tuned all week to the Jewel Network. We are here to evoke incredible thoughts that you can build your mind upon so that your body and your environment will be wonderful. Fabulous. Okay. What's our area code again that's waiting on the line?
That's area code 510.
Greetings, area code 510. How are you? Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Dr. Jewel. Area code, are you there? 519, hello?
510.
Okay, 510.
Okay, correction. Well, maybe they're just listening in. All right.
Okay, all righty. Well, okay, so let's do a little test, Maurice. Our dear engineer, and we want to thank him for his wonderful skills and qualities and how he is able to keep all of these shows so lively, so appropriate, et cetera. So we just definitely want to acknowledge you and appreciate you. Incredible.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to share.
Well, good. So, well, I wonder how that felt in your body. Okay, it felt good in mine. I like those neurotransmitters. And most of all, my wonderful listening audience worldwide, you know, we're in so many countries. I just want to say hello to you. Thank you for listening. And, you know, we're just a little embryo now, but we are growing and growing and growing. And just recognize that it's wonderful for you to begin to accept science as a form of entertainment. This is one of the greatest breakthroughs that's going to be and is becoming part of the culture in the 21st century, that we want science. We want facts. We want information about our environment, about ourselves, how we're interacting with the stars around us, the planets around us, the fabrics around us, everything. We want the hardcore data, and that is fabulous that you have a brain that now can be entertained with information about itself and its environment, that you don't need someone to distract you anymore from yourself, that you don't need something outside of you to twinkle and spin and take your attention away, because the brain is alive now and wants to have the facts so that the decisions you make, the thoughts you have, et cetera, the consciousness of everything, you can begin to interact with it. Incredible. And this is a 21st century a trait, that science is just as entertaining as, you know, a good song or somebody's perception of what their reality is, known as a novel. Very, very interesting. Okay, that science now becomes entertaining, and you always want to maintain that as a truth for you. Not that it's boring and, oh, I don't understand and it's too hard and it doesn't make sense for me. Your brain is awesome. Okay, if you can speak, you can learn and appreciate yourself. And that's what we're offering to you, the science of life and living, on the Jewel Network, which is an acronym for Justifiably Enchanted with Enlightened Living, hosted to you on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm just so appreciative that I've had the opportunity to be your host on this show, the Dr. Jewel Show, and to be a part of helping to build this fabulous network for ourselves and for our future generations. Can you imagine that your children will be growing up and they'll have science available to them on the TV, on the radio, on their iPads and iPods, etc., and they will find that just as necessary and just as soothing as listening to music or watching cartoons or looking at a sitcom. It's like, you know, they wouldn't go a day and not be able to turn and to hear about the science of whatever they may be interested in. This is the kind of culture and activities that are part of the 21st century. So, I love you so much. Thank you for tuning in. We have a wonderful show lined up for next week. So that's Wednesdays at 7 p.m., the Dr. Jewel Show. So I just want to say goodbye, and we love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to
The Jewel Network. For our complete broadcast schedule, additional information, and to purchase products, please visit our website at www.thejewelnetwork.net. If you'd like to reach us, please send an email to info@thejewelnetwork.net.